We visit clinics and surgeries, and we're willing to spend every penny to our name in search for good health. And we knock on every door in search for happiness and peace of mind. We visit scholars and psychologists and even Raqis in the hope of alleviating our pains, dispelling our fears, not knowing that in many cases at least, the root cause of that illness was simply a sin that required an apology to Allah and a humble retreat to His majestic name, Al-Ghafoor. We translate this majestic name as the most forgiving. But a deeper look uncovers a much deeper meaning. The word Al-Ghafoor is from Al-Ghafr, which refers to At-Taghtiyatu Was-Sitr, covering and concealing something. And that's why when the Arabs want to say that so-and-so dyed his grey hair, they say Ghafara Ash-Shaybu Bil-Khitab. Again, you hear that word Ghafr when speaking about hair dye, because it involves covering. And also the word that they use for battle helmets is Mighfar, because it covers the head and protects it from harm. So from these examples, you've probably noticed two primary meanings from the term Ghafr, which is protection from harm and veiling from exposure. Now, if you've understood this, you've understood the name of Allah Al-Ghafoor, a Lord who hides the sins of man and conceals his faults, veiling his treacherous behavior so as to not humiliate him, whilst at the same time, Al-Ghafoor is he who shields him, protects him from the harms of those sins by accepting his repentance, replacing sins into good deeds, and even loving him more than he did before the sin. That's different to us. After we forgive, we can love, but from a distance. But when Al-Ghafoor forgives, he loves from a place even closer than before. La ilaha illallah. That is a Lord to be appreciated and loved. And forgiveness is a universally admired trait. We're inclined to those who pardon, particularly when the victim did not need to do so. In April 2015, Salahuddin Jitmood, a delivery driver for Pizza Hut, was making one of his last deliveries of his shift when he was robbed at an apartment in Kentucky. In US, he was stabbed to death. What caught the headlines, however, was what happened during the court hearing of the murder. The father of Salahuddin was present, and he came eye to eye with his son's killer. And the father addressed him, and he said that, you know, it's been 2 years and 7 months of suffering along with many nightmares, but I am angry at the devil who misguided you and misled you to do such a horrible crime. I don't blame you. I'm not angry at you. I forgive you. And then he said to him that the door of opportunity for God to forgive you is open. Reach out to him. You have a new chapter of good life coming. Subhanallah. Now the defendant was sentenced to 31 years in prison. But before he was taken away in cuffs, Salahuddin's father embraced him. He hugged him. And the defendant wept. The father whispered into his ear to do good deeds, and that when he is released from prison, to have confidence that Allah is forgiving. Now at that moment, subhanallah, the sounds of heavy crying from the attendees could be heard. When the judge was reduced to tears, and she called for a break. So we admire these examples, yet at the core of it is an example of forgiveness between two equal human beings. So what then of forgiveness when it happens between two who are very different to one another? When the crime was not between two equal human beings, but between a slave and the supreme master, the helpless and the supreme king, the deficient and the perfect, the created and the creator, how intensely should he be loved for the forgiveness that he shows? This love is then intensified in your heart towards him when you think about the sheer number of ways that Allah Al-Ghafoor has given for people to have their sins cleansed from them, as if they never did them. No less than 10 different ways. 3 ways in the life of this world. Count with me. Tawbah is one way to have those sins erased. Repentance. Calamities that by their nature erase sins. 3, good deeds which by their nature erase sins. But if you still have sins by the time you pass away, don't worry, there are another three opportunities, but from within your grave. The funeral prayer that is performed over you. Good deeds that you have left behind that continue to benefit you in the grave. Number six, the traumas which many people will experience in the grave. If, however, the day of judgment begins and you're still carrying sins and the grave didn't erase them, don't worry, another three. Number seven, the horrors that people experience on the day of reckoning that erase sins. Number eight, the standing on the plane of resurrection for 50,000 years. Number nine, the intercession of the intercessors. And as for the tenth way, it is the greatest and most encompassing of them all, and the most hopeful. It is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. And that is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he would say, Allah is going to forgive people on the day of judgment in a way that cannot be imagined by any human being. Is this not a Lord worthy of being adored and loved? Ya Allah, Ya Ibn Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani ghafartu laka ala ma kana minka wa la ubali. Allah said, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall continue to forgive you for what you have done, and I will not mind. Ya Ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. O son of Adam, Allah said, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, then you were to ask of forgiveness of me. I would forgive you and I would not mind. يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. O son of Adam, Allah says, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, but having not associated partners with me, I will bring you forgiveness as much as it. Allahu Akbar. Think about who Allah is and then think about who you are. Which of the two is in need of the other? Which of the two depends entirely on the other? Which of the two cannot function for a split second without the other? The answer doesn't need spelling out. Yet look at the manner in which he calls you back. Why does he do this? Because يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah wants to lighten your load. You see, there are so many forms of luggage that man shoulders throughout his life. The luggage of work, of illness, debts, and dependence, stress, so on. But there is no luggage in existence that is more strenuous on your back and more damaging to your peace of mind and more detrimental to your hereafter than the luggage of sins. It's this luggage that expelled Iblis from Allah's mercy and what drowned the Pharaoh and his people and what caused the earth to swallow up Qarun and his riches and what annihilated the civilizations of Ad and Thamud and the people of Lut and Shu'aib. It's this luggage that causes, in many, if not most cases, the loss of peace of mind and contentment and the goodly life. Sins, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, good deeds bring about light in one's face, luminosity in one's heart, expanse in provisions, strength to the body and love in the hearts of the people. And sins, he says, bring about darkness to one's face, darkness to one's heart, weakness to one's body, lessening in one's provisions and hatred within the hearts of people. Anyone who believes that happiness can be found in other than Allah's obedience has thought the worst of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take it as a rule in life. The fatigue or the rest that your soul feels is proportional to how far or close it is to Allah. Because we all know how it feels to be torn between two items of clothing, or torn between two job opportunities, or torn in the decision to travel or not. So what then of a person who is constantly torn between the life of sin and the life of worship? Can such a person rest? Of course not. So Allah Al-Ghafoor, he knew very well that sins will bring misery to your life and will change your daylight hours to darkness and convert your certainties into doubts and make your private time endless moments of agony. Allah knew this. So He sent you a lifeboat to hold on to. It's the name of Allah, Al-Ghafoor. And there is a flag on this lifeboat, and it reads, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Whoever does evil or wrongs his soul and then asks God for forgiveness will find that Allah is forgiving and merciful. A man nicknamed Abu Tawil approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, أَرَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا عَمِلَ الذُّنُوبَ كُلَّهَا فَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا. What would you say of a person who's committed every sin out there? وَهُوَ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَمْ يَتْرُكْ حَاجَةً وَلَا دَاجَةً إِلَّا أَتَاهَا فَهَلْ لَهُ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. In fact, he hasn't left out a single minor or major sin out there. He's done them all. Can this person be forgiven? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, have you embraced Islam? The man said, I testify that none is to be worshipped but Allah, and you are the messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, in that case, yes. Do good deeds, desist from sinning, and Allah will change every one of those sins into good deeds. Now the man, he couldn't believe what he had just heard. And he said, وَغَدَرَاتِي وَفَجَرَاتِي. Even my treacherous ones? Even my monstrous ones? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So the man walked away, saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, again and again until he disappeared. So a Lord who is not only offering to erase your every sin, but to change them into good deeds that you never actually did in your life, is a Lord who has not disadvantaged you in any way, and is a Lord who wants you, who wants you to turn a new leaf in your life. But there is more. And this is where it gets even more baffling. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam illustrates an imaginary scenario to help us understand the level of Allah's happiness to have you back. It's a scenario of a person who was saved from a near-death experience. Honestly, re-listen to that until it sinks in. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that, I swear by Allah that Allah is happier with the repentance of a believer than a person, imagine, than a person who set out on a journey in an open, arid desert. And during the journey, he retreated to the shade of a tree and fell asleep. He woke up only to notice that his camel had run away. So he made his way to a nearby cliff to look around, and he couldn't see anything. He went to another cliff, he couldn't see anything. So he said to himself, I'm going to go back to the shade and stay there until death. I want you to imagine the level of his grief. I want you to imagine the level of his grief as he is waiting for a slow and torturous death to claim him. And as he is sat there in despair, all of a sudden he sees his camel making its way back to him. And he's so happy, he grabs it by the reins and he says in extreme joy, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. And the Prophet said that he made a mistake due to his extreme happiness. Subhanallah. So take advantage of this. And I'll tell you how. By gathering every one of your sins before your eyes, load them up, all of them, the public and private ones, the old and recent ones, the minor and major ones, even those you feel so uncomfortable thinking about, as well as those sins that you feel can never be erased. Bring them all together. Until you're eye to eye with them. And then boldly declare, O Allah, I swear by your might and glory that you will forgive me for these. You will remove them from my life. You will veil me from their shame. You will replace them into good deeds. You will purify my heart from their poisonous effects. And you are the one who made me daring and ambitious in this request of mine, because you told me that your name is Al-Ghafoor. Then after that, if for a single moment you doubt Allah's happiness to hear those words from you and His willingness to honor your every request, then you have to listen to this episode one more time.